Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is Backtalk. It's time for us to talk about a B-movie.
Yeah.
Before
I love B-movies.
I do, too. And I thought, well, you're the perfect person to discuss a movie with Jason Statham. Now, what do you think that's about? Okay.
January. That's what it's about. It's about a release that came out in January.
He owns that month.
He really does. Like, if it's not a Jason Statham movie in January, have we had a January yet?
Well, this is called Shelter.
Yeah. A familiar story.
Yes.
Jason Statham has a past with MI6, he left or whatever. He's always got a pass with MI6 or assassin or something in organized crime. He's just trying to live his own life, just on his own. And he gets dragged back into the thick of it when, I guess, the MI6 comes after him eventually.
Yeah, he refused to do something that was unethical. So they were after him.
And then this one, he ends up, this orphan girl ends up kind of in his care or in his shelter.
Apparently she was in Hamnet.
Oh, was she?
She must have been one of the daughters.
Okay, yeah.
I thought she's terrific.
That's a step down. But that's okay. I mean, you got to do some crap.
Bodhi Ray Breathnock.
Yeah, I thought she was good. And it's a very clear and basic Statham movie where he goes on the run, and in this one he's with somebody trying to protect her, and he's done that before. He did that with J-Lo a couple years ago.
Well, he's been in a couple where he's been associated with a young woman, and he tries to save them, and this is the emotional depth of a Jason Statham film.
Well, yeah, I mean, they no longer just have him being this hard-cut bad guy, like off the cuff kind of. He's got to have that father figure element. And when we say he's with this kid, it's above board. I mean, he's
great,
seriously trying to save this girl from a life on the run.
Yeah, and I thought and a pretty thought effective scene saving her in the water.
I mean, he still grumbles through everything he does.
Kevin, I found one shot where he actually had a smile. And he's watching through the window when she is petting the dog.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, like the weir from afar.
Yes.
Yeah. But otherwise, he's just that grizzled Cockney accent through everything. He's Scottish in this movie, isn't he? He's in the Scottish Islands.
Well, he's in the Hebrides. He's in the West Isles. He's in what I noted from the credit. He's actually on The Lamb is the name of the little island he's on.
Okay.
That was donated by Uri Geller.
You know, honestly, what would you give to just live on that Lamb and have people just bring you your supplies every...
Not me, Kev.
I would love it.
I know you
I would love it. No human contact for the rest of my life would be wonderful.
It is. Actually, I thought the photography was really pretty cool.
Yeah.
And when they go into a village... Neat looking. Yeah.
I mean, it's very typical Statham. I mean, it hits all the beats. And it does add the sort of like the father figure, the reluctant father figure.
And don't you think the fight scenes are getting even darker and darker, so you don't have no idea what's really going on?
Well, I mean, because Statham's in his 50s at least now.
He's 58, you're right.
Yeah, he's pushing 60.
I know.
Like Liam Neeson did Taken and all these things. And then he got to the point where he was just driving places and running his car. He wasn't even punching people anymore. He was just running his car. Because that guy's like in his 70s at this point. And Statham's doing the same things.
Yeah.
Like Neeson used to have the box office of January locked up. And now Statham does. And he's had that, honestly, for the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Beekeeper and the Working Man.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Beekeeper was pretty good.
And he goes with these same directors. Like, he's worked with David Ayers most of a lot of times. This one's the same guy who directed
Greenland.
Greenland 2.
And the original, I think.
I
think so. Both those. And
now, Greenland was terrible. Greenland 2 was terrible.
Yeah, but
this one's not bad. I mean, here's the thing. Statham's movies know what they're supposed to be. And they do it.
They're for Wayne and me. There's nobody else in the audience. Yeah. We can yell and scream and laugh and just enjoy ourselves because movies can do this.
You know what it's like back in the 70s and 80s. They just had these action movies that came out, and they didn't make a lot of money. They didn't make a big splash.
Or a lot of sense.
Or a lot of sense either. But they turned a profit.
Oh, yeah.
And they were great in the doldrums of the release schedule. And we're back to that now, post-pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this last weekend's box office was the worst they've had since the pandemic. And we're seeing that. Again, because halcyon days of the 80s and 70s, you'd have really rough times where no movie made more than $3 million.
Well, when I grew up, what interested me in cinema was initially the cinematography, and they were mostly Westerns.
Yeah?
So if you give me a John Ford movie, I'm a happy man. I don't care what the Duke is doing. I'm just there in the West. So I visited.
You had to have somewhere to go on a Saturday.
Yeah, and I visited Monument Valley about three times on my motorcycle.
These have taken place in three different states, but they're in the same place. I don't understand how this happened.
Bill Nighy playing Montfort.
You know, it blew my mind that Bill Nighy was in this because it just seemed. And again, here's me I've just spent the last several minutes defending these movies, but I will say this seems a bit below Bill Nighy. He was nominated for an Oscar like a year or two ago, wasn't he?
Right,
But I love that's what I love about British actors, is
they have
just
no shame.
The same old slop that the American box office people go for. Yeah.
Well, I like him. He's so oily.
Oh, he's perfect.
While he's been in some fluffy movies, set somewhere out in some resort or whatever, I think he's been in. He can't be a romantic.
Both the Marigold Hotel movies.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
But he also played the bad guy in the Underworld movies. So, he absolutely ready to just eat the garbage. And he's great in it. I loved him. I love Bill Nighy. I love the British idea of acting where they don't care what they're in. They just want a job.
I know they do. And there's always a little bit of a smirk.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
I know they're doing.
Bill Nighy knows he's not doing Shakespeare on this one.
They make us think that we're going to be happy because they're in the movie.
Well, here's the thing. You know how you can tell whether Bill Nighy respects a movie or not? Is whether he has his own glasses on.
Oh, right. He has these big black glasses.
Yeah, he has these big, thick-rimmed Coke bottle glasses. And if he's wearing those, the movie's pretty bad. But if he's not wearing those, he's like, okay, I'll take off my glasses for this one. Like, in this one, he's like, I don't care. I'm putting these on because I can't read the script.
Wow. Well, we're talking, Kevin, about Shelter.
Yeah.
And it's set in the Hebrides, and I have to say that
it begins in the Hebrides. Yeah.
And then it goes to London.
Yeah.
You know, we have a little bit of that James Bond flair to it.
He scruffs it up a bit.
Yeah, he does. And we have a very fine young actress, girl whom he's protecting and giving it some emotional. I'm smirking to myself and saying, okay, this is Jason elevating himself. But okay.
It's a Jason Statham action movie.
And I think there's actually less, there's less action.
Well, they balance it between the action and we need to make him a human being at this point.
Yeah. As you said, these are MI6 guys he's dispatching.
These are not your gravy seals that are going after him, no.
I have to admit, I chuckled at the booby traps he had for them at the island. I mean, why bother? But he actually spent a lot of time fortifying himself.
Yeah.
But still.
I'd be a lot easier to get if I were living there.
So, Kevin Carr, it's called Shelter. It's certainly not Oscar material.
No.
But it is Jason Statham. From years ago, my son and I were on Sunset Boulevard at a little cafe and sitting over there. I said, I think I know that guy. And it was Jason Statham.
Was it Statham?
Having lunch. Yeah.
And, did he punch anybody in the process?
In fact, only a nerd like me would have known who it was.
Really?
It was just at the beginning.
How
of
long
the
ago was this?
That was about 20 years ago.
That's right at the beginning. Yeah.
But it was, and then divine. Oh my God! You know, he's like Charles Bronson now.
Did you go up and say something to me? You go, no, mate.
You know,
I ain't got time for you, mate. In his Cockney accent.
So, what do you advise, Kev?
Okay, so, like, if you're tired of the award films, There's a lot of award films. Everything's hitting streaming right now.
Yes, it is.
And if you want to see something mindless, check out Shelter.
Yeah,
this is it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not.
For
it's,
garbage.
It's certainly not Hamnet or One, it's one
not,
Bad Left.
But it's not trying to be. That's the point.
Yes, right, exactly.
It's not.
It is.
It knows where it knows its place.
That's great. And it's a time when, for this movie, Wayne and I, there was nobody else there. So we
I'm sure you guys had a blast.
We talked.
You guys were throwing
other
popcorn in the air and everything.
We're yelling and screaming and laughing. Statham is doing what he does for us. I'll let you blow off steam. And
he's probably got another good six, seven years of doing this. Yeah, I mean.
Well, look at Liam Neeson.
Yeah, well, Liam Neeson ended up just driving places.
Well, Kev, do you have any other philosophical statements before we move on to Assassins?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't think I never think I have philosophical statements.
Well,
they just show up. I am a font of effervescent philosophicalisms.
Well, we're still talking about Shelter, and we're trying to find out something meaningful. Now, I know he's not an assassin in this.
Well, he was.
Okay.
Yeah, he was.
We could call him an assassin. I mean, he works for MI6.
He worked for MI6. He refused to kill. Was it a child or was it somebody who was
innocent?
Somebody
would help
them
in an investigation.
Yeah.
And they wanted them to put him out.
Yeah, they just needed to cut up a loose end.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it, which I love. Yeah. I love that fact.
Yeah.
And so he's on the run from MI6.
Yeah.
And Bill Nighy.
Definitely an assassin type because the younger version of him is coming after him.
Yes, yes.
So
that's
good.
John Wick.
There's a lot of John. As I was watching this, I kept thinking, well, the difference with John Wick is John Wick had a budget behind it, and it went big.
Yeah.
All the John Wick movies subsequent, including Ballerina, went big. And this movie never goes big because what it reminded me of is it reminded me of those direct-to-video movies that you don't see them as much now. But I would say about 10, 15 years ago, you get a lot of these direct-to-video movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Scorpion King series, which I think the director did a couple of those.
Let me ask you this. Any comparison with James Bond?
Well, I mean, you throw an MA6, you're going to get James Bond comparison. I mean, I think there was a point in time when certain people hoped that Jason Statham would be the next Bond. He's too old now. He's like Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see Idris Elba as
me
James
too.
Bond.
Yeah, me too. Good choice.
But he's too old.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially now they're telegraphing that they're going for a young Bond.
Yeah.
So, they're going to end up getting one of the kids from Stranger Things, probably.
So as I'm thinking of maybe my favorite bad boy assassin.
Yeah.
Had to come from No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah. Javier Bardem.
Yeah, I know.
That was his groundbreaking movie, wasn't it?
Whoa. Carrying this little instrument that kills cows. Or something. What a menace.
Yeah.
Sitting across from people you know. They're just
he had to kill Kelly MacDonald, which was sad. I wept.
And then I happen to pick out four assassins, a couple of my favorites, and these are the guys who changed everything. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, you're talking about Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta. Yeah, I mean, they were great. And what's great about Pulp Fiction is there is a moral subplot in that because they have this whole conversation about whether they're doing the right thing and whether they're continuing. Samuel L. Jackson decides to bow out. And later in the movie, John Travolta's character gets killed because Samuel L. Jackson is not there with him. So there is a weird moral compass to that.
Tarantino puts a lightness to this.
When
they talk about pop culture and food, and this is a new turn, I think, for our bad boys. That at least
it gives a reality to them.
Yeah, and not the view we've had of assassins before this.
Is it shows assassins doing their job in Pulp Fiction, and they're going to get lunch.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
And then they're going to shoot somebody in the head. That's just their job.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you and I might go see a movie and then go to get lunch.
Yeah, right.
We're not shooting somebody in the head, but if we were assassins, that would be our job.
And so it reminds me that Statham is probably more in the old style because there's very little humor.
He's never just a straight-up assassin. He's always got a backstory. Even if you go back to Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or Snatch or something like that, when he was first really making his mark as an action guy, there was always a backstory to him.
Yeah.
And that's important with your characterization.
Yeah. One that I thought was an unusual one that I actually enjoyed very much, Collateral Damage, in which Tom Cruise plays an assassin. Remember that?
Okay.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Collateral.
Yeah.
Collateral Damage. Yeah. Collateral. That's the one where he's getting a cab.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A Michael
Jamie
Mann
Fox.
Movie. Yeah.
Michael Mann, right.
Well, and it shows, again, that's all characterization.
Yes.
And the when's it going to happen, but the point is, it doesn't happen.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Most people like to hear about assassins because they like to see how they think and how their brain works.
Right.
And that's, I think, why Collateral does such a good job.
Yeah. And also The Killer with Fassbinder.
Okay, yeah. A couple of years ago. That one really flew under the radar. I like that.
I did too. I don't know what happened to it because I thought it was the new assassin.
Again, it was him just, that's his job.
Yeah.
and you can't mix job and pleasure or job and attraction. You haven't mentioned Assassins with Antonio Banderas and...
Oh my gosh.
And then Sylvester Stallone, which is not a good movie.
No, it isn't. I wonder why I forgot that.
I wonder, yeah.
But
is this the name of the movie?
It's funny when you talk about the name of the movie. I was looking at people who were recluses.
Generally aren't the life of the party if you're an assassin. which I think The Killer was, they did a really good job, Fassbender and Fincher, putting together a guy who... That's what he does. And otherwise, he just goes home and, I don't know, plays Candy Crush.
I picked one from way out there.
Oh, no.
You'd never pick this one. But Grizzly Man.
Oh, wow. Wait.
As a recluse.
Okay, as a recluse. I was going to say,
an assassin.
The bear was
bear is the assassin.
Bit of an assassin at that point. But no, you're right. Because here's the thing. In this day and age of social media, everyone expects people to be what they're putting out there. And there's a lot of people who's not putting stuff out there. You have to remember that there's a lot of people who aren't on the internet and who haven't connected, and they don't see what you post. They're happy to just live in their own little hobbit hole.
That's right, they are.
And that was considered normal back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Now, not necessarily reclusive, but that kind of solitariness is Castaway.
That's a guy who craves interaction.
Yeah.
And doesn't have it.
Yeah, and it's not by his choice.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. And he has to... come to terms with that. Yeah. And that's part of the movie. I mean, that's sort of the first, second act break in that movie.
Yeah. One that I thought was pretty dark, had more than one recluse, and this would be guys who are doing the job in the lighthouse.
In the lighthouse?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I did too.
That movie's bonkers.
Willem Dafoe
is brilliant in that movie.
I mean, who would be better choice?
There are times when I wish I could live in a lighthouse.
But
I don't want another person
living
there.
You're so good socially, but you really do have that side of you.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot going on.
I got a lot going on. As long as I got an internet connection and heat and air conditioning, I will be happy. You know, those things where you see on Facebook where people are like, would you live in this house for $10,000 a year? And I'm like, I would pay to live in that house for $10,000 a year.
See, I couldn't even live in London if you gave me a flat.
Really?
Because I would miss everybody.
Oh.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that's
Dad, sweet. I'll be out there. Yeah, sure you will. Go ahead, Dad. Take it. You can live there. We'll visit you. No,
I'd be the person that I'd be like, give me one of those Scottish Highland islands with a house.
Yes.
I need four walls and a fireplace, and that's it.
One recent, last few years, Oscar winning, The Whale.
That's an interesting choice. Well, he's not an assassin.
No.
But it is seclusion.
Recluses, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's him being in a prison of his own design. I don't think he wants to be a recluse, but he hates him. The self-loathing is so prevalent.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't have that human connection. And that's where his problem is. And what's so frustrating about that movie is, well, it wouldn't be hard to change. But he can't. And that's the tragedy.
Another reclusive guy that I really like is The Mule with Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Now, I've not seen that one.
Okay, all right.
Is he a drug mule?
He actually takes a job transporting drugs.
Okay, just like in his car.
Yeah, an older guy. And then he visits his ex-wife and so on. It's very touching, but he is alone.
Eastwood, interesting about Eastwood is if you look at his career, and especially in his later years, because he's, what, 90-11 or something like
that? He is getting on. I thought I saw he was 99.
He is up there.
I know.
And he just did a courtroom drama last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll do like three takes and that's it. I mean, it sounds like it's the greatest set to work on. I mean, if you look at his earlier stuff, like his Western days, he's wrestling with a lot of younger ideas.
Yeah.
But as he's gotten older, he has really wrapped himself around the leave me alone is his rule.
And with some philosophy behind it.
Well, I mean, there's always a message behind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Kevin Carr, we have gone far away from the Hebrides and Jason Statham's story. But both of us find a joy in seeing a B movie. If for nothing else, the cinematography is usually pretty spectacular.
It's nice, especially this time of year when you're bombarded with like significant films, to watch a piece of crap. And it is fun.
Yeah, give it a shot. You're wondering why all these people are putting him in Lamborghinis to see what they have to offer, and particularly the cinephiles out there who need to not be just seeing snooty good movies or bizarre movies, but just want to see what mainstream movies are.
Hey, Jason Statham's friends. That's my message to you. Pay Jason Statham's friends.